G'day you mob, Pete here, and this is another episode of Aussie English, the number one place for anyone and everyone wanting to learn Australian English. So today I have a Goss episode for you where I sit down with my old man, my father, Ian Smithson, and we talk about the week's news, whether locally down under here in Australia or non-locally overseas in other parts of the world, okay? And we sometimes also talk about whatever comes to mind, right? If we can think of something interesting to share with you guys related to us or Australia, we also talk about that in the Goss. So these episodes are specifically designed to try and give you content about many different topics where we're obviously speaking in English and there are multiple people having a natural and spontaneous conversation in English. So it is particularly good to improve your listening skills. In order to complement that, though, I really recommend that you join the podcast membership or the academy membership at aussieenglish.com.au, where you will get access to the full transcripts of these episodes, the PDFs, the downloads, and you can also use the online PDF reader to read and listen at the same time. Okay, so if you really, really want to improve your listening skills fast, get the transcript, listen and read at the same time, keep practicing, and that is the quickest way to level up your English. Anyway, I've been rabbiting on a bit. I've been talking a bit. Let's just get into this episode, guys. Smack the bird, and let's get into it. Before we get into this one, where I thought we could sort of recap 2020 and COVID and talk a bit about new vocab coming in. I've got a few things to mention here. You had a really funny story that you were telling me the other day about-
That'd be a novelty.
it ties in with the previous episode that we just published. Hopefully, they're getting published in order.
Either that or look for the next one where we're talking about fatherhood.
Well, you were talking about fatherhood and multi-generational houses. Mm. And you had a really interesting story about, I think it was Italian women- The grandmothers that were Italian that didn't speak English.
Oh, Maltese.
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 Sorry. Jesus, sorry.
Sorry, yeah. Maltese.
It's my memory. It's my Italian. Memory more so than confusing the two. But do you want to tell that story about, I guess that would be 1950s, 1960s, 70s life in Melbourne?
Yeah. This was a friend of mine at university. And so, we were 18, 19 at the time. And her grandparents had migrated to Australia with her parents before she was born. So, they would have come out in the mid to late 1950s. She had an older sister who was, I think, 1 or 2 years old when they came out here. So, the whole family moved. Yeah. It was her father, her mother, and her father's parents and her mother's parents.
And what was the reason for them moving from Malta at the time?
It was post-Second World War. Post-Second World War. Malta was a really interesting place during the Second World War, interesting being a euphemism, because it was the centre of a lot of the particularly naval traffic going through the Mediterranean, and it was a British outpost. So, the British controlled it, but it was always under the pressure of being taken over by Italians, taken over by Germans. It's halfway between the southern Europe and the north coast of Africa, so it was those huge stresses. So,
quick pause. It's just occurred to me, but we put E's on the end of certain nationalities and languages.
And not all.
And it doesn't seem to have a pattern. Maltese, I found out when I looked this up with you when chatting about it.
Yeah, why isn't it Canadese?
Well, it's Maltese is an Arabic language, I think, or at least a
language.
It's in that group.
Yes.
And then we have Portuguese, which is a Romance language. Japanese, Chinese, which are obviously in two other families and two other Asian languages, but we don't use it consistently.
No, but it's what we do with English. It's like, you look at
English.
Malta, we have dropped the A and put E's on the end of it. So, why isn't it Canadese, as in Canada?
Yeah,
because it ends in an A,
Australia
and drop the A and...
That's something we'd have to dig into. Anyway, so they were from Malta.
That was a sidebar. Yeah, so they were from Malta and they arrived in Melbourne. Late 1950s, they moved into a 3 or 4 story apartment block in a suburb of Melbourne, eastern suburb of Melbourne. And when I knew them, which was, 18 years.
Yeah, so the 70s.
Yeah, sort of mid-1970s. Danny and I would, I'd go to visit her or we would, drop in on the way to somewhere else or whatever. And She'd say, don't bother talking to my grandmother. And I looked at her and said, what are you talking about?
I like old people.
Yeah, because they had the entire floor in this building. They had three apartments on on this building. And that was Danny and her sister and her parents lived in one. A set of grandparents lived in another one. A set of grandparents lived in the third one.
Imagine that.
And so her two, and I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, my grandmothers only speak Italian. And a lot of people from Malta only speak Italian, or they speak a bit of Maltese. But Italian was their first language. And she just said, don't bother speaking to them because, they only speak Italian. And I'm not going to be bothered, translating for you all the time.
They'll pretend to understand.
And right? She said, no, they won't. They'll just talk at you. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. And I said, they've lived here for your entire life. She said, yeah. But why don't they speak English? Because they've never had to. Because when they arrived, their husbands and their son or son-in-law, in the case of the mother's parents, all went out to work. So they all had to learn to speak English. The men had to learn to speak English very quickly.
To earn a wage.
To earn a wage. Her mother.
Side note there, if you want to see a really good movie about that, I think I have the book up here somewhere. It's a weird mob. They're a weird mob. And it's Nino Culotta.
Nino Culotta is the pseudonym.
Comes over to Australia from Italy. Almost exactly the same sort of story and hits the ground sort of running, right? So, he has a little bit of English, but he has to kind of get a job and have these interactions, goes to the pub, meets women, has
starts
a relationship.
Starts learning English in a really bad way.
Yeah, and gets taught all this slang and everything, And so, it's a really good movie from the 60s, I think.
Yeah. Or 60s, find the book as well. It's a funny book.
Have a view or a read of that because that'll give you an idea of what these Maltese families and old women would have been, the sort of situation. Mm. They would have probably been the generation above Nino, the parents of someone like
they
Nino.
They would have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nino would have been a few years older than me.
So
they didn't speak any English because they never had to. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they never leave the house because they don't have to.
When they do, they go somewhere that they have Italians.
Or when they do, they've got their husbands or their children or their grandchildren or whatever with them. And it was that you live in this little miniature enclave of three apartments in this block of, apartments in, the middle of Melbourne. And all they had to do was they just went from one house to the other. They looked after the grandchildren. They cooked. They cleaned. That was their job, which would have been exactly the job they had as grandparents back in Malta. But in Malta, of course, they would have gone to the markets. They would have gone all over the place. But here, they couldn't do that. They couldn't go out shopping.
It's interesting, right? It's weird. Connecting that with sort of COVID.
If you're watching, Danny, love you.
Connecting that with COVID, it would be like they were constantly in kind of lockdown or isolation, at least socially, right?
Yeah. Oh, of course. But they didn't mind.
They loved it.
They loved it because, and Danny used to say that they love this country.
They just don't want to learn the language.
They don't want to learn the language. They don't want to go out. But they'd go out. They would go out and they'd walk around and with each other or with their husbands and stuff. But
well, it'd be like us being on constant holiday, right?
Yeah.
You just constantly overseas in a country where you don't speak the local language. Well, and, Australia has a lot of expats living in, say, Asian countries like Thailand, Bali and Indonesia, and I imagine the Philippines.
Well,
and
Singapore, Philippines, China.
Singapore, they have pretty good English, though, right?
But I imagine Singlish. It's interesting.
But I imagine there are lots of, especially older men, who end up living over in these countries, and they would probably never bother to actually learn the language to fluency, but love the country, love the people, love the culture.
You can function.
But I think that is a kind of benefit of having English as your first language. I would imagine trying to do that with, say, if your first language was, I don't know,
if you
Somali,
were the one, if you were the
screwed,
one Icelandic person on earth who did not speak English and you speak one of the least spoken languages and you arrive in Australia and nobody speaks Icelandic, which is a fairly probable thing.
It's going to make your life hard.
It would make your life hard because nobody would understand you. It's not like any other language.
Icelandic is so good. I wish I was so keen on learning it until I realized how few people there were. The fact that they all speak English almost perfectly.
Better than we do. Yeah.
And that even if you went there, lived there, it would be so much more difficult for you to try and learn Icelandic. Mm. But what can I remember from Icelandic? Jæraslæra Íslensku. I'm learning Icelandic. There you go. Anyway, good little episode. I guess we can keep that one as a standalone.
That's all
about,
right. Why
about
not?
10 minutes. But yeah. So what would you take away from that story in terms of migrants coming over here? Do you think they had it good? Did they make the error of not sort of venturing out? Do you think they missed out on Australian culture, or that Australia missed out on them as a result of them not learning English?
I think both of those things are true. But because they were in a bubble, in a sense, because they had each other. You know, there was the two... Look, they were younger than me at the time. Yeah, and but these two older women who were perfectly happy being, you know, carers of their children, their grandchildren, and, you know, cooking and cleaning and doing what they were doing. Because, and they had their own little community, and they would have known other people who spoke Italian and other Maltese people and so on. But so they didn't miss out on a life, and their life probably would have been very similar to the life they led back in Malta,
yeah.
But just within this little bubble.
Fewer people.
Fewer people, exactly. But
well, they left all the assholes back home. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just take everyone that's good.
Yeah,
let's
take
go.
All the good people. Come to Melbourne. Yeah, assholes, stay home. But I think, you know, we as a general society miss out if we don't have the ability to learn more about, you know, our, you know, new Australians, we used to call them when we were kids, you know, the, you know, migrants coming to Australia. And funnily enough, new Australians sort of now has this sort of old-fashioned thing about it. But well, it's actually quite a nice title.
I love the fact that we have that, right? Because even with Kel... a lot of my other friends and even a lot of you guys who speak to me and followers and listeners and viewers who tell me, oh, I've just become an Australian citizen.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful thing that they can come to a country like Australia and become Australian, whereas I don't think that that's the norm for most countries. I would imagine that most Western countries, that's kind of the rule. And, well, probably any country that has a pretty significant amount of immigration.
Yeah, and look, we're a, you know, we like the United States, Canada. New Zealand, those four countries, because they're originally, well, in the case, all of them were British, but at least European colonies, but they had very small indigenous populations at the time. And so, the majority of their population that exists now have come from immigration.
Yeah.
And so, we're a country of immigrants. And from, you know, almost every country in the world, there are people that have, you know, come to Australia. And that's one of the beauties of living in a place like Australia, is that you can go into the city of Melbourne, and even if you, you know, obviously I like my food too much.
You said it, I didn't.
Yeah, all right.
It's all good. I like mine too.
Yeah, and yeah, you can go and eat at, you know, 100 different nationalities of food in very good restaurants within walking distance of the centre of the city of Melbourne. And so that's just one example, is food, but people bring, you know, bring different practices, different cultural practices, different different sports, different all sorts of different things that we all get to engage in. But I think the other side of that, that coin, as you were saying, with the immigrants themselves, if you don't engage in that community, then to be Australian to me now is being multicultural. Yeah. You know, there's no, you know, yes, I come from a completely Anglo-Celtic background, but I'm not quite in a minority, but getting close to that in Australia. Your son, you know, two generations later, your son is, you know, half Brazilian. You know, well, we don't have any South Americans in our, and then his
within
mother
that, he's 5% African, 5% indigenous South American.
Yeah,
he's, you know, something like 50% Portuguese, Spanish, and then British as well in there. So
exactly.
It's insane,
so, you know,
right?
He's now carrying all of those little bits into Australia, at least in his DNA. And so, I think there is that opportunity if you arrive in Australia. Firstly, I think learning the language is clearly the most important thing.
Because, well, I was going to ask you.
You can't engage in the culture unless you know at least the remnants of your
what is the responsibility of the country, and what is the responsibility of the immigrant? So, the immigrant arrives, imagine they have zero English, and, you know, you can go one way where you end up like these Maltese women who- I would imagine are still giving back to the community and being a good part, a good citizen, an Australian. But from my point of view, they're missing out on a very important part of being in whatever country it is, whether or not it's Australian. And that is, I see it as your responsibility to have the capacity to communicate with the local population.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility, but it's the local population's responsibility to give you ways in which you can then learn to communicate,
and
right?
And to accept that, you're going to struggle with that communication for a fair bit of time. And I grew up in that era in the late 1950s, early 1960s as a kid.
The white Australian policy.
With the white Australia policy, where it was basically anybody who didn't come from Europe, you couldn't get into the country. And there was a, even within that, there was a very significant bias to being British.
What do you think that, to pause you there, sorry, and we keep doing this, but what do you think that, right. what was that on the back of?
Tangents,
of?
We end up back where we started.
Were people freaking out after the Second World War and they were just
it's older
like-
than that. This is First World War-ish.
Okay.
That white Australia policy came from-
But even then, we were fighting other Europeans, weren't we, during the First World War? So
look, to be frank-
Not the French, not the French.
To be frank, it was just straight out racism. Let's not try and cover this up with anything else. It was just straight out racism.
But was it racism from a fear?
It was a xenophobic racism.
It wasn't
we want to keep Australia British.
Yeah, okay.
Was basically the essence of it.
Okay.
And from the politicians 100 years ago.
But I would imagine that at the time they were still fine with, say, Germans or French people coming. It was just not those slightly darker people,
Well, they're all. There were names and derogatory nicknames used for Germans and French and so on, but they were in no way the same as the derogatory nicknames for people from Southern Europe, from Italy, from Turkey, from Greece and so on. And it was because they looked different.
Yeah.
They're dark skin, dark hair. Now, not all Italians and Greeks and Turks look like that, but the ones that did- just got tagged
bizarre,
with being
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because
different.
I think before that, it was all about Catholicism versus, I don't know if it was Anglicanism or if it was Protestantism.
Protestantism.
Yeah. But they're the Christianity groups, right? I remember reading about the first migrants, the first convicts to be brought to Australia, and that they had that Irish and Great Britain split because of Catholicism and Protestants. And so you had a lot of these rebellions and fights, and they were like, they're effing Catholics, and that they hated each other. And, if you watch- what's that American movie with Leonardo DiCaprio in it?
Don't know.
Where he's in the streets.
That doesn't narrow it down much.
God damn it. I should know this. Yeah. Let me quickly do a search.
Press pause while Pete does this.
That's it. Exactly. So, keep talking.
Yeah.
It's something New York, right? There's something of
Streets
New York.
Of New York?
Streets of New York. Yeah. I believe that's
we'll
it.
We'll catch it eventually.
Streets of
There is New a movie York. Called The Streets of New York.
Yeah. It'll be something along those lines. Yeah. I don't think it's exactly that. Is it that? Streets of New York. No, I don't think it's that. There's a film called that in the 1930s. But
all going to be cut anyway.
They had that film with Leonardo DiCaprio where effectively it was sort of the Irish versus the non-Irish and that they were literally killing each other in the
that
streets.
That was the story of both New York and Boston.
Yeah.
You can throw in the
Gangs
third group.
Of New York.
Gangs of New York.
God damn it.
Sorry.
Gangs of New York.
You can throw in the third group in both those cities, which was the Italians.
Mm-hmm.
And- The thing that the Italians and the Irish had in common was they were Catholic. And so
together.
It became a, it was always the, the English who were, they were not English at all, but 200 years ago, they came from England in America. They were opposed to the Irish and they were opposed to the Italians. They didn't see them as joined together, but the Italians and the Irish didn't even really join together, but it was common enemy.
At least we're the same faith.
And so, there's a lot of that politics that was going on. And even now, there is the police departments in both cities are primarily Irish.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And you've got to sit there and go, how did this happen? I'm sure it happened because the Irish saw that the way to get some control back in was to- join the people who were in control. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Where how did we get to there?
I don't know. It's always fun to sort of go on those meanders.
Yeah. Malta to Irish police in New York.
Yeah. But anyway, hope you enjoyed this one, guys.
Yeah. Cheers.
See ya. Alrighty, you mob. Thank you so much for listening to or watching this episode of The Goss. If you would like to watch the video, if you're currently listening to it and not watching it, you can do so on the Aussie English TV channel on YouTube. This is different from the main channel. You'll be able to subscribe to that. Just search Aussie English TV on YouTube. And if you're watching this and not listening to it, you can check this episode out also on the Aussie English podcast, which you can find via my free Aussie English podcast application on both Android and iPhone. You can download that for free, or you can find it via any other good podcast app that you've got on your phone, Spotify, podcasts from iTunes, Stitcher, whatever it is. I'm your host, Pete. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a ripper of a day, and I will see you next time. Peace.